are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Talk radio show on Up to Me Radio. We are really excited to come to you for our weekly power lunch hour. And boy, have we got a great guest for you today. I am bringing to you the iconic, and he's probably chuckling at that, but I absolutely thought, what's the right word for our guest today? The absolutely iconic Mr. John People. John is director of supply chain at Domino's, but the context of our relationship came about. I love the relationships I have that have a number of dimensions. So I came to know him as a client about a year ago, and we'll talk a lot about that. What has emerged since then is, well, first of all, and you know, those of you that share this bond know the intensity and the advanced level of a relationship that probably is greater than, you know, any other, just short of your relationship with God, is our relationship as a fraternity brother. I have the unique experience of sharing this show with one of my fraternity brothers. So, John, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Reggie. I appreciate it, and I'm excited to join. Definitely want to commend you on all that you've been doing for so many people, and so this is a proud moment for me to share the stage with you.
Well, it is. My job is easy because I have the pleasure of working around people doing great things like yourself, and all I got to do is virtually pass the microphone to you and let people know of your story. For our callers that are calling in, is if you'd like to join our conversation or share, you know, or bring a question for myself or for John during the conversation, please make note of the phone number. Just dial 347-324-5246 and press 1, and they will connect you to our conversation. And with that said, I'd love to get started. Now, like, as I mentioned, John and I started work through the Finding Your Forte program about a year ago, and you know, at the time he's at a career crossroads that frankly I could not even bring the color and do it justice the way that he can. So I'll ask him to get us started. And you know, John, as you think about, you know, kind of where you were last year, and the reason why I'm really excited about you sharing this story, because I think all too often people are at this crossroads in life, and there isn't a place for others to be able to learn from others' experience. So if you could just kind of give us what probably for you is boring detail, but from my perspective is really fascinating. You know, walk us through where you were about a year from year ago today, and you know, maybe even give us some perspective on your career to that point. And then, you know, talk to us about how you navigated forward.
Absolutely. So I kind of what I'll do is just summarize, you know, from almost literally a year ago today where I was. I was living and working in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. I had been in Cincinnati for about 6.5 years. Working for a major consumer packaging company. This company is known throughout the world, and I was a supply chain manager in my particular role there. I geographically did not fall in love with Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm not going to share any lies. So, you know, that definitely played an impact.
That's really politically stated. I'm proud of you.
It was politically stated, right?
Right.
But it definitely had an impact just on what I would say my total mental well-being. You know, when you're
uh-huh.
in a different environment that you're not
right.
comfortable with, and then the role in the organization that I was in started to change, which, you know, to be blunt, just did not like the role. Right, so I didn't like the role that I was in. I didn't like the environment that I was in, and so you put those two things together, and you get to a crossroads. Well, that crossroads is probably. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's going to be a vicious fight with myself not to be too disruptive, because there are some parts of your story that I really want you to share more on. That particularly, you just made a really compelling point that I feel like a lot of people overlook. And there's this notion of going through your career and making career decisions where you know you're in a place, a location, and or in a role that is just not good for your mental well-being. I mean, you're just not in a good, you know, kind of state of mind. You're not bringing your best to your work. And
absolutely.
What happens all too often is people kind of think it is, you know, they see that they have that experience and they, you know, think I'm just going to tough it out, you know, and they stay in that space and, you know, it never gets better. And what eventually starts to happen is you kind of tough it out, and you know, as a result, you know, you've eroded what happiness feels like for you, which is just not very productive for you or the organization you're with.
Absolutely. And so, even to add a little bit more insight, so the crossroads that I came to didn't just start in Cincinnati and didn't just start in the last row. So I've been in manufacturing operations or supply chain roles for about 16 years, major automotive organization, major oil and gas organization, then consumer packaging goods organization, and now in the food industry. So I'm going to be honest and say, you know, when I graduated from high school, my goal and ambition was to be a sports entertainment attorney. That's what I was.
Okay.
Where I was going. That's what I was going to do. Went to Florida A&M University, great university. I love FAMU. Shout out to Florida A&M. And once you start going into a particular major, I majored in business and economics. You know, you start taking different subject matters. Next thing you know, it's time to graduate, and it's like, did I prepare myself for what I think I said I wanted to do? For me, that would be going to law school, right? So,
okay,
be a sports entertainment attorney. Obviously, you have to go to law school. Well, you know, at that time, I was like, man, I don't want to go and study real hard, that hard, since I've been doing the last four and a half years with a double major, and so not being keenly focused. So we're going to keep that word in mind, keenly focused.
Keenly
not
focused.
Being maybe
all right.
Keenly focused at that time, graduating from college. A lot of different opportunities did start to come my way. And having to go to work, because, you know, your parents are not going to let you just sit on the couch for too long. I was afforded a great opportunity to go directly into a leadership role with Ford Motor Company in the plant. Now, if you're from Detroit, Michigan, Ford, GM, Chrysler, you know about what we call the big three in that area. You always know to get a job or career started with one of those three companies is great. And I went straight into a leadership role. Right in manufacturing as a production supervisor, UAW, Union Workforce, largest union in the world, and pretty tough environment. Mind you, not being keenly focused, I took what opportunity came my way at that time.
Oh, okay.
Great opportunity, right? The money was good. Was making, you know, pretty good money coming right out of college, but it was definitely something that I knew in a pretty quick period of time that I didn't necessarily like. But I started building
right.
different skills.
You
get to a point where you start saying, okay, I'm doing something. I'm building these skills. Well, I can't just quit, right? I gotta keep at it. So you keep at it. You start matriculating through that organization. people started looking at you and saying, hey, he has some skills, he has high potential. But I knew I didn't really enjoy it or like it, to be blunt. Started with another organization, moved away to Houston, Texas, after about 8 years with that company, worked in oil and gas. Still doing similar work, leadership roles in supply chain. The environment changed, so I loved living and working in Houston, loved the organization. But I still was not necessarily doing something that I can say I love, right? But I'm building different skill sets. I'm still acquiring different skill sets. But at some point in time in between there, maybe 2006, 2007, I found something that I enjoyed and thought that I did well, as well as I saw someone who had a model, and that was really connecting people. So I had a cousin back in Detroit who was pretty much, I call him, he's a people broker. He's a rainmaker. And I started seeing him use his network, his expertise, to kind of bring individuals together and maneuver projects through and get paid for it, right?
Right,
I was like,
right.
Wow, I would go with him to certain meetings and see the different type of clients he was bringing together, major clients that he was putting multi-million dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars deals together. And I was like, that's what I want to do.
Wow.
And so in name only, in 2006, I came up with People's to People Consulting. And it was really more so that I had a lot of friends and associates who would come to me because they thought that I may have I know someone or have a certain knowledge that I could connect them to somebody. And I was doing it on a friend, on the strength of friendship. And what I was walking away with is finding out that people were putting deals together where they were getting compensation. But I'm still working my regular, you know, career and moving on along, but then I found that to be somewhat of my passion. How can I do that, right? And how can I then put some type of monetary value at some point in time to that? But I'm still working in a career or in a job that I didn't necessarily really love. Another opportunity comes up. Got recruited by another major organization to go into a higher leadership level role, and that's when I moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. Didn't want to really do it, but I said, wow, this money is better. I'm going to a higher leadership role. So let's go back to that word. I said keenly focused, right?
Okay.
So I went again with the opportunity that just came my way because I built certain skill sets. I had good experience, and you know, people thought that I probably had high potential as a leader in their organization. So that's when I moved to Cincinnati.
Okay.
And I'm getting into a role that I could do it, but wasn't a passion of mine. And then it gets to a point where you really just don't like it. And then obviously the geographic location, you know, it wasn't one that I really liked or embraced. It was just a little bit different for me. So you fast forward.
So that seems
to
be a. Let me ask you this, John. So that seems to be a recurring theme: is you trying to strike the balance between work and or roles that you love and or you're in it for either positioning for something else or building skills. So like if you were, you know, kind of share, you know, having a conversation with your younger self, and you were about to go on this, you know, kind of career trajectory that you've been on, like what insights would you share about, like, you know, guidance on how to think through striking that balance between loving what you do? Because sometimes, you know, the reality is sometimes you'll be called upon to do things that you may not necessarily love.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it might serve a purpose for something else, or it might be skills building. You know, what would be your, you know, what's your counsel about, you know, kind of trying to strike that right balance?
Right. So it's two things that I kind of think about now if I have to go back 20 years that you kind of learn and that I use going forward. One is back to that word of being keenly focused, right? It's to really try to focus in on what that is that you enjoy doing. And sometimes you just don't know what that is. It takes time and experiences to really learn what that is.
That's true.
But
that
if you
true.
Have if you have an inkling on what that is, it's to not be fearful to try it.
Right.
So
right.
Fear, right, is one of those things that kind of holds us in a pattern where we won't go do something, right? We have ideas, we have goals, we have dreams, but we find all of these different reasons why we think we can't do it or why we can't do it now, whether
that's correct.
Current obligations, right? Oh, I can't do this because I have to do that. And so we get into that holding pattern and we never do anything about it. So I would say don't be fearful. Right, it's harder said than done, but I always looked at it like, if I try this, what's the worst that can happen? What's the very
worst? That's a really good point. Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I'm often talking about how you navigate fear, because frankly, it's an ever present and sometimes necessary reality for all people. Fear is just a part of the construct. For anybody in their existence, what you want to do is minimize it and eliminate it. And to your point about, I think what's really provocative and compelling, I would take away from what seems to work for you is this landing point that you just shared, which is, you know, what's the worst that can happen? Usually, when you kind of think through and process fear, and there are some models that, you know, we kind of use. I don't know. I think we did do the conquering fear exercise. But when you think through what fears actually exist and you call those fears out, is it fear of failure? Is it fear of, you know, not being great? Is it fear of it not working? Whatever those fears are, just calling that fear out is half the battle. It completely handicaps the fear from being able to be as effective as it can be. And you're right. Like, if you can just kind of push through a fear and make a decision to do something that, you know, kind of serves what you're keenly focused on, I really think that's really productive.
All right. So I would go back and tell myself not to be, you know, it's okay to fear, but don't let that fearfulness or having fear keep you in a certain place. And I probably did that from the time that I started working, 2000 to maybe, you know, 2010, 2011, where I just went with what opportunities came my way. I got good at it and I acquired certain skills. And what happens is you'll have a lot of different opportunities and you'll just kind of go for it. So I had to just sit down. And it got to a point, you know, in Ohio for me during that particular situation this time last year where I was like, you know what, this is not going to work for me. I am not at the place that I should be, that I was, you know, almost born to do. So what am I going to do different? So for me, it came down to I had to do something radically different. And it started with my mental thinking, right?
Okay.
The first thing I did was, funny story, I was in Atlanta, New Year's 2015, going into 2016, and I was hanging out with my cousin, and she says, we're going to, for New Year's Day, we're going to have New Year's dinner of one of her former college roommate's friend's house, and they're doing vision boards. So I was like, all right, I'm going to eat the neck bones and the black eyed peas. I don't know about the vision board, right?
Right.
So I went there with her, and the fellas were kind of in the living room watching the football games and the bowl games, and all of the young ladies were doing vision boards. And, I mean, they were really elaborate. They had instruction manuals on how to do this vision board, and her friend said, hey, John, you going to do a vision board? And I kind of looked and I said, I'll wait. I kind of got it all in my head, right?
Right.
Well,
right.
What I did maybe 2 weeks later, I said, you know what, I'm going to finally do a vision board. And I went to different stores. I got the magazines. I started cutting articles out, cutting different images and pictures out of, you know, from geographic locations. I put those places where I could see myself living, you know, from where I wanted to be from a spiritual and emotional standpoint, physical, wholesome living, right? So I had all of these different images, and I posted that on this board, and I put that board against my wall or on my wall, and I also wrote out my resignation letter to the current company that I was working at that time, right?
Wow. Wow.
And so for me, it was getting up every morning and looking at that. So that becomes to a point where you have to actually visualize what the change is that you want to create. Mm. And I don't know if people realize how important it is to visualize and have those vision boards. And so what I started to do every day, I would look and read that resignation letter. I would look at those different images on the vision board, and I started to put different tasks. I went and got a whiteboard, put a whiteboard in my office at home, and I put different tasks on mm-hmm. that whiteboard that would help me accomplish those different goals, which would lead to different things in my vision board. What I found
That's
out,
really
the more
powerful.
That I started, yeah, so yeah. the more that I yeah. started to look at that vision board, the more that I started to change my mental set, I started to change my mental preparation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Different opportunities started to just kind of open up. Different pathways started to clear themselves, you know, to me. And happened to come down to Atlanta. And finally was going to visit a family, Rattler. She owns her own spa in Atlanta, the Posh Spot. I said, you know what? They've been open 7 or 8 years. I've been in Atlanta all of this time, and I have not gone to visit her spa. So I went there to visit her, and she happened to be there that day, Dawn, and we got to talking
wow.
and telling her about my story and where I was, you know. She said, I have somebody you need to meet, one of your frat brothers.
Right.
He can help you build out your consulting company and even more so help you align it to what your purpose is. So, again, the mental preparation, once I started to visualize, once I made the vision clear,
mm-hmm.
those different things started to, doors started to open up. And so I think that's one important thing that you have to do.
It's just really powerful. I mean, and, you know, one of my favorite quotes out of the Alchemist, I'm not sure if you've read it, is, you know, when you do the things you just talk about, that quote is, the universe conspires in your favor. And it just, you know, it just invites in the laws of attraction. I mean, visualization, I'm so glad you are such an amazing testimony of the power of visualization, because it is a very powerful tool. And, you know, I've seen people embrace it to ranges of intensity. You know, I too have been a part of vision board experiences, and in some ways brought them into the experience of finding your forte when we kind of frame out the vision snapshots and put goals and action items behind them. It's just a really powerful tool. And, you know, it's, you know, so now it's kind of, you know, as a way to kind of invite this opportunity that you put yourself in. So now you, you know, had the opportunity to meet, and, you know, for people that are keeping score at home and maybe even connecting conversations that we've had and through Finding Your Forte, you may recall that our very first guest on Finding Your Forte was Jawanza Watt, what was then Jawanza Nuruddin, who is the husband of Dawn Watt, the mutual friend that John and I have. And they, in a lot of ways, are, you know, personal purpose ambassadors in terms of connecting dots. They both have really thriving and wholesome networks, just being the great people that they are and the people that they have the opportunity to interact. So, you know, it's not surprising at all that she would, you know, connect you to someone who is helping facilitate the kind of change that you were trying to bring on for yourself.
Absolutely. And so really, you know, what that did was it was it encouraged me once she introduced me to you, and we sat down and we had breakfast that morning, and you kind of laid out to me what Finding Your Forte is. And I went online, I looked at the different people that you had worked with, and saw, you know, former colleagues and executive level individuals from some of my previous organizations. I was like, wow, this brother is doing something really powerful. And you were able to understand my story when we talked about the crossroads, continuing
mm-hmm.
to do something that you really don't necessarily want to do. You know, it's more that you want to do. It's more that you want to accomplish. And then it's what you did and what finding your forte kind of allowed was to start bringing those different thoughts out and then putting it into a strategic map, so to speak, right? Because we have all of these words in our heads, but you have to have a strategy on how you want to accomplish that. And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, and then they get frustrated because they don't have those mentors or those coaches that can help them really create the life that they want to live.
Right, right. And so that's really, that, you know, it's kind of what brings us to now. So you navigated through that crossroads. You began pursuing opportunities and, you know, reconnecting to your network. And in a lot of ways, that's what kind of created you to be able to position towards, you know, kind of where you are. Share some of what that experience was like and how you were able to tap into your network to try to, you know, kind of come to this opportunity.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. So for me, you know, as I started to navigate and matriculate in corporate America and just in general, I always say my last name is not Peoples by chance or happenstance. You know, there's a reason that my last name is Peoples. You know, I'm attracted being around other people. I get energy being around other people. And probably one of the strengths of mine is being able to network and bring people together. And so, you know, how I even got the opportunity, my last organization was meeting a gentleman who was a senior leader level at that organization who allowed me to interview, and, you know, I was able to join that organization, and he became a mentor of mine while we were both at that organization. And he eventually went to a new organization and became an executive leader. So he went from a senior VP to an executive VP, reports right to the CEO of our current organization, and still kept that mentorship with him, and not only that, sponsorship. So it's one thing, you know, for you to know people, but it's something else for people to know you, and then people to believe in you and be an advocate of you and at a position where they can really, really advocate for you. And he was. So when he went to his new organization, he knew I was always ready to get out of Ohio, no offense to Ohio, looking for a different geographic location. But he also knew that I was ready to do some different things with my career and get some different experiences. And he put me in a position to interview with his team, organization. And then I was fortunate enough to join, you know, to join a current company here at Domino's. And that was really through being able to network, but it goes back to I was mentally preparing myself for the change. I was visualizing, and then I kind of just was able to use my network, right, to open up some doors for me that I had prepared myself, right? So one word that I would say or three words is trust the process. You know, we hear athletes say that a lot of times, but what I had to really look at is, like, trust the process. So all of those days where it was the frustration, the getting depressed, getting upset, there was still a process that I was following. It just took me to really visualize and put actions to my vision. And so networking is very important. I think a lot of times we think we have to do everything on our own and not realize that there are people there who can help us, but more importantly, there are so many people that have already traveled the journey, right? There's so many people that have already been to where we're going, and they can help you navigate through those pitfalls. So you can't be fearful of asking folks to support you, but you got to be ready to give something in return when you do that. So that's kind of got me to where I am from a career standpoint, but it's also expanded my network, which gets back to people consulting. So, and that's where you kind of helped me lay the strategy.
Well, and you're right. So that's a really good, you know, milestone for this conversation and your career, just kind of understanding everything that's occurred to get you to this point. And What I would really like to do is kind of pivot to where we are right now and talk a little bit more about where you are right now in terms of your current role and what you see in the big picture in terms of people to people, and then how we think that might play out in the future. This is a really good point for a break in our conversation. And so why don't we take that? And when we come back, we'll pick up where we've left off and continue to learn more about John and, you know, what he sees as the future for himself and for his leadership role and for people to people and everything that connects the two of them. So we'll take a quick break right now.
We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new uplifting and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn. Less stuff, more meaningful life, and an up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels, and so much more. So get your subscription today at uptomemagazine.com. That's up, the number 2, magazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Well, welcome back, everyone. If you're just joining us, we're having a pretty exciting conversation with John Peoples, who is a director of supply chain with Domino's, and he's in the middle of telling a story about how he navigated his career crossroads that he's just emerged from and is now kind of settling his feet in a new role and thriving. I want to remind you that if you'd like to join our conversation or ask a question or even just share a comment, please call us at 347-324-5246 and press 1 and you'll be added to our conversation by our executive producer. So from here, John, let's just pick up where you left off. And why don't you just share a little bit, we'll kind of unpeel, you know, peel back the layers, if you will, and where things are for you currently. So you were able to, I let that whole no offense to Ohio thing go. I let it go from earlier because it will come back in this conversation, and I'm going to make sure I deal with it properly. But you kind of changed the geographics for you, you know, for yourself, which was part, you know, really important part of, you know, kind of putting yourself in a place to be happy, and that was really important. I recall from our conversation. So talk to, you know, share a little bit about where you are currently and what, you know, what you're working on.
Sure. So I'm currently in Orlando, Florida, and I'm director of supply chain here for the Florida region for Domino's Pizza. And we support over 400 stores across South Georgia and Florida, as well as international. So if you go to Domino's in Jamaica or the islands in the Caribbean, more than likely a lot of your some of the things that they have at that store comes out of our supply chain region here. So that's some of my responsibility. So for me, one of the things I realize is the sun is an important factor in my environment. And I'll tell you, obviously in Florida, this is one of the sunshine states. It's always sunny. So just from a mental standpoint, you get plenty of it. You know, my vitamin D was sufficiently low back in Ohio, and so obviously the sun, you know, helps a little bit with that.
You know, it's so interesting you should say that because we do share, you know, having had an Ohio experience. I will say mine was better than yours. You know, I really enjoyed Columbus.
Yes,
but
I will say
that the thing, you know, if we looked at our list of the things that we didn't like, that was definitely one of the things that I missed in Ohio. It seemed to always be gray there.
Right.
And so, I don't know what that is. Maybe there's, you know, maybe there's some science or some data to be able to find there. But we won't dwell on that. Now that you figured that out, and quite frankly, I feel like there's some, you know, kind of well-being insights about the importance of getting enough exposure to the sun. So it sounds like you discovered it organically.
Absolutely, I did.
Yeah. And so, you know, so you're in now, now in Orlando. You're in a great role. You've got great responsibility. I mean, that's a pretty big geographic footprint to make sure that as an organization, you guys are fulfilling the supply chain needs. And, you know, Domino's being the number one pizza retailer, that's a kind of a tremendous role. So, you know, how
right.
is your assimilation to that role and what it takes to be successful in that role? Like, tell us about how you're, you know, kind of wrapping your arms around that.
Right. So, one, I can say this is probably one of the first times in a long time that I can say, man, I love what I'm doing. And I see the purpose behind it. Domino's, we have great people, a great culture here, and that's one of the things I think that is unique. Been around for about 50 years now, and so to be considered the number one pizza company in America, and you know, moving that needle towards the world. It's a very interesting time in Domino's history is that we've been doing a lot of things, especially from a supply chain side, with just a lot of brute strength, you know, with our people, with our technologies and our innovations.
Okay. And I think that, you know, I've been able to watch the impact of that and watch you lean so assertively into that role. And, you know, and frankly, from my perspective, it looks like it's really allowing you to thrive in your leadership voice and find your, you know, I mean, and that was really important given the, you know, coming from a, you know, a role that you weren't crazy about and the geography that you, you know, would rather not have been in, you know, to be able to kind of find your feet again in a leadership role, particularly as you look at the big picture of your career trajectory. And you want to be able to look back and say that kind of experience was a blip more so than the norm. And, you know, and so it's been encouraging, if, you know, to see you reestablish your leadership voice and, you know, take on a role with such great responsibility, and, you know, and to be able to thrive in that role.
Right. And one of the, you know, I've worked for some great companies. They really have been great companies, but the one of the things that really intrigues me and excites me about Domino's is that we have great people, and to have the opportunity to work with team members to really help them develop and see things differently, or maybe even do something different than how we've been doing things in the past, and to see their growth, to have them get excited or re-energized about the possibilities. And that's even more exciting. So it's really about developing the individuals that I come in contact and connections with in this, my current organization.
That's outstanding. So, like, let's spend a little time talking about where you see things going. So, you know, you're in a role, you're doing your thing, you still got the people-to-people vision, vision. Sometimes I flip
right.
my S. No, but I think I got it right this time.
You got it right.
In terms of being able to, you know, connect, bring mutually beneficial and productive, financially productive relationships to bear. You know, what do you see the you know, the vision for that as in terms of how it will play out, you know, even as you
right.
start to continue to get more focused on what the strategy and game plan for that is, you know, in the to leverage the analogy of, you know, your passions around sports, you know, so now we got to draw the playbook so that we can run the plays, right?
Right, absolutely. So, you know, for me, one of the things that even just in the short time that I've been with the organization, it's to that's been exciting for me is to be able to partner up and really help provide opportunities for others that, one, look similar to me, and then two, have some of the same ambition that I have. And one of the exciting things is to be able to go back to my alma mater, Florida A&M, and to initiate recruiting and from a supply chain side to FAMU.
Okay.
So, you know, Domino's, we have summer internships, you know, for different supply chain centers and different business units. And so what was really exciting is to have two students from Florida A&M University joining Domino's this summer. Being able to build those relationships from my university is and then give those same type of experiences and opportunities to individuals. One of the real exciting things is when I went back to campus, and you hear this term supply chain, right? It's a buzzword in a lot of college curriculums now, but to really see the excitement when I talked about Domino's and supply chain, it just kind of shows them where my career kind of started. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I graduated from FAM, you couldn't have told me that I would have been in supply chain, right? It's funny how it happens. It probably wasn't even a real buzzword. It was just becoming a buzzword at that time.
Right.
But to be able to leverage, obviously, my relationships with the university and to be able to build a pipeline to bring great talent to my current organization, that's exciting. And so projects similar to that are things that I will continue to work on. It gives me passion. It gives me fuel to keep building. And it lets me know that I'm kind of on the right track when my leaders here in the organization are attracted to do these type of initiatives and projects.
Okay. And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've been fascinated to watch play out for you is the duality of, you know, playing out your vision in terms of, you know, the core of your career being your role and your as a supply chain leader within, you know, within a company that's a leader in that space. You know, that's a pretty phenomenal opportunity. But not only that, you're also kind of establishing the vision for people to people, but you kind of never took your eye off this passion that has been brewing and really a constant from the beginning to the end around sports, and more specifically, your personal passion around developing young leaders, young athletic leaders have promising careers, you know, both on the field and off. And you know, I've been delighted all with one asterisk.
Yeah, we know about
one
asterisk. Right,
okay.
Right. I'm sorry,
I've been delighted to watch you play such a, you know, a great and prominent role in, you know, at least one young man's life and career that played off, and it's put him in a pretty exciting and promising, you know, position, at least within a great conference. So we'll, you know, so if you, you know,
right.
Go ahead, let's just go ahead and get this out of the way.
Okay, we get it out of the way.
And I can start tap dancing around it, and then we can just be done with it.
Okay, so I do have a nephew who is a freshman wide receiver at University of Michigan. Go Blue. And so
yeah, we're
going
to need to come back and edit that part out of the
podcast. Right.
Yeah,
so
right.
Just to even talk briefly, you know, about my nephew Donovan Peoples Jones. So, you know, we knew about 6 years old, he started playing organized little league football, and he showed some athletic promise very early. But he also showed that he was highly motivated in his books. He's always been good in science and math from a very early age. Well, a lot of people at 6, 7, and 9, and 10, 11 years old, they say, oh, this kid is going to be something special. Right, you hear that a lot, and you're like, okay, yeah, you know, we'll see. And even as an uncle, I said, we'll see. About maybe 13, 14, as he got ready to go into high school, you really did see that he may have had – he had something special in him. And he got his first college football offer as a freshman from Ohio State. So that's huge, right? That's a huge.
The Ohio State
but
University.
The
right.
Ohio
right.
State
right.
University.
Okay.
But what was even more intriguing, if I go back now 4.5 years, he wrote a letter to get into the high school that he graduated from, Cass Tech High School in Detroit. He wrote a letter to get into high school with his pretty much his goals of what he wanted to do when he graduated, before he graduated and when he graduated from high school. And it was pretty detailed letter. And I just read that letter maybe a couple years ago. And this letter said why he wanted to go to Cass Tech, because he knew that it would prepare him. Since it had a good football program, strong athletic program, to he wanted to be the number one player in the country when he gets ready to go to college or at the end of his high school year. This is an eighth grader.
So wow.
He said he wanted to
wow.
graduate with a he wanted to graduate magna cum laude. He knew they would prepare him to go into a career in medicine. So he's always known that he wanted to be a doctor. So this is an eighth grader, right? And we hear
wow.
about people writing goals and things of that nature out, and then seeing it actually manifest itself in him kind of reinvigorated in me that it's never too late for you to have a dream, get keenly focused on it, and work at it. So Donovan, from ninth grade, I saw him as a student, wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, complete his homework, go work out. He just was really on a grind every day. He mentally kind of prepared himself for those challenges. He just didn't do things that maybe a lot of other teens would do, so he made some different sacrifices because he had this goal. So 4 years later, he graduated from high school a semester early. He was the number one ranked wide receiver in the country, and he graduated with a 4.0. Every college, major colleges were trying to recruit him, and obviously he selected University of Michigan. So I looked at what he was doing as a 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old, and it started to kind of reinvigorate back in me some of those goals that I may have had. Like, it's never too late to take action on something that you want to do. So
right.
For me, what I realized is that there are a lot of young men and women, for that matter, who have athletic promise and who will probably get a scholarship to go to college. And then there were some who will get the opportunity to play professional in some league. So if we talk about football, the NFL, but they may not have the right resources behind them once they get to that point, right? So one of the things that people consulting is providing a marketplace for potential professional athletes of different resources. I call it a marketplace of subject matter experts. So if that's you need someone who can help in endorsements, you need someone who can
right.
help in public speaking, you need someone who can help in financial planning, it's me being able to tap into my network and provide that marketplace of subject matter experts that can kind of guide and shape and provide strategies. But it's doing that from an athlete side, but also for other potential entities and individuals. So that's kind of what people is working on. But yeah, the nephew kind of reinvigorated the dream and the goal, and just seeing him visualize and mentally prepare himself and be keenly focused. I said, man, if this is a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old doing this, and actually seeing him be able to have his goals manifest themselves, it was kind of awesome, but it allowed me to see that, hey, why am I not doing this?
Well, you know, what's interesting, I think you should give yourself a little credit, because it's been interesting to see throughout the course of this conversation, and I don't know how many times you have a chance to, you know, kind of within an hour play out both where you've been and where you're heading. But the thing that has been a recurring theme, even since the very beginning, you made note of this notion of being keenly focused. You also talked about the importance of visualization and writing out your goals. So it sounds like, one, that's in the bloodline, right? Because he's got some of the bug as well, and we've been able to, you know, kind of with some guidance from great people around him, including yourself, you know, he's been able to navigate and put himself in a place of, you know, pretty amazing, you know, opportunity to be great. So you definitely wish him the best. But I think that what that also says is there is a formula to being able to do that. And, you know, if I'm sitting somewhere with a young promising athlete that's 13, 14, 15, 16, as you say, you know, and you've been able to successfully, and I hear this podcast, and to know that you've been able to at least be around watching the play-by-play as someone's been, you know, successfully able to navigate what bringing that kind of athletic promise to fruition looks like. You know, certainly you would be somebody that would be great to be in the corner of, you know, someone else that's kind of making that same navigation as well. And I, you know, am personally and professionally excited to be able to help determine how you embrace that in this marketplace of subject matter experts, you know, such as yourself, to be able to bring people to bear to create, you know, great futures for people based on their, you know, kind of on their promise.
Absolutely. And those are some of the things as we go into, you know, year two now that you're helping me navigate. So I would say, you know, you always want to have someone. I talked about not trying to do everything on your own because you don't always know what to do, and there's someone who can do something better. But as you start to visualize, those opportunities will open up, and having those mentors and coaches that can use their energy as well to kind of help you create what you want to do.
That's exactly right. So this has been, you know, a great conversation to watch it play out. I just want to continue to let you know that I'm really encouraged and inspired by, you know, the perseverance and the faith that you've demonstrated in navigating your career, and, you know, you seen through, you know, great challenges and embraced them and come out, you know, on top of those experiences. Now you are in a, you know, a great position to do successful and amazing things in your current role, and to be able to watch it play out in conjunction with, you know, bringing about this, what I tell people when I'm telling them, you know, about you is this, you know, kind of connector extraordinaire. You know, I've, you know, been able to watch you work in terms of being able to connect folks, and I think that it's been really, it's great to see. Oftentimes, you know, the conversation with people around that have passions like yours is to push them to figure out how to embrace those things professionally and how to make them financially productive for themselves. And you're doing that. At least you're on the brink of doing that. And so, you know, kudos.
And
Rick, to that.
If I could just add, not to cut you off, I can just add, but
sure.
That was some of the legwork that we did in using Finding Your Forte. That's
right.
What it did. It allowed me to take, okay, here are some things that obviously through our assessments and the work we did that say I do well. And here are some things that we are saying are my passion. Now, how do we align those things together and then create a strategy? And that's what Finding Your Forte did and is doing for me.
Right. And it's been a pleasure to continue to grow or play a part in, you know, kind of navigating your strategy and your plan to do that. And now, so we're about to pivot and to go into execution. I'm excited to, you know, to share with others and, you know, to confirm that we're about to begin, you know, some of the branding work that we envision doing, you know, through our branding, our purpose offerings. So, yes, you will be able to see more job people speaking and panels and, you know, some of the other professional endeavors that are above and beyond what, you know, he has to do in making sure that we get good, nicely balanced pizza here in the southeast corner of the country. You know, all pointed back to John People. So, thank you so much for coming on the show, John. It's been an absolute pleasure to have this conversation as a microcosm of just the honor and pleasure it's been to watch you thrive in as you've navigated your career and your life with such beautiful focus spiritually and, you know, well-being, you know, emotionally, and to watch your, you know, watch you assertively pursue your passions and to put them into play in your career in a productive way. Thank you so much for that honor, and we look to continue that conversation.
Absolutely, and you know, thank you for your support and mentorship, and so you know, look forward to continue working with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so with that, everyone, we are excited to close out another great conversation with a client that's doing some amazing things. And it was a pleasure to have worked with John through Finding Your Forte. We look forward to the opportunity to do more. So if you are interested in exploring Finding Your Forte for yourself, please contact us at yourcrescendo.com. You can just email info at yourcrescendo.com, YourCres as in Sam, CEndo.com. And we encourage you as we close out and we listen to Shante Can, who is just released or about to release a new album, actually, who is the artist on the song that you hear at the beginning. And as we close out the show, Free Your Dreams, please definitely find that song on your favorite music sharing platform and download it and have it be a part of your subconscious. But with that, we close out our conversation today, and we encourage you to find your forte, to compose your masterpiece, and to play your crescendo. Have an amazing and prosperous day, everyone.
You've already won. Look up for soul exam.